Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
How many of you can say, even in the valley, God's good? So, preacher, I hadn't been in the valley. Well, just hang on. You're gonna be there one of these days if you hadn't already been. That's a part of our life. I wish that I could tell you that when you get saved that all of your problems are over, but that's not the case. In fact, once you get saved, you have an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do his best to try to discourage you and defeat you. And that's his mission. That's his job. That's what the devil does. But greater is he that's in us than what? He's in the world. Romans chapter number 4, we have been looking at this man called Abraham for a number of Sundays. He has been our go-to. He has been our example. And in Romans chapter 4, to save a little bit of time, let's pick up reading here. We're beginning in verse 16, but for the sake of time, look in verse 18 for just a minute. How many of you have a Bible with you today? You got your Bible. Lift it high if you're not ashamed of it. All right. If you don't have a Bible, we have extra Bibles. I have some in my office. I'd love for you to, if somebody needs a Bible, raise your hand. We'll have somebody to get you one. Anybody? Please get to bring the Word of God with you and read the Word of God as we read it. That's why we're here today, right? That's why we're here today. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, everybody read this with me. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not. He didn't waver. He was dead set. He was like Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He was dead set that what God had promised, God was able to do. That's where faith comes in. You might say, I would ask you this morning, how many of you believe the Bible? And you would say, I believe the Bible. However, your faith will be put to the test whether or not you really believe the Bible or not. Are you following?
Yes.
In other words, if the Bible says it, can we trust it?
Yes.
Is it relevant for 2019?
Yes.
Is it just a bunch of fairy tales?
No.
So is this not God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God? And what God says, it comes true, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And can God lie?
No.
So if God makes you a promise, is it going to come to pass?
Yes.
If God says he's going to meet your need, is it going to come to pass?
Yes.
You're getting weak on me now. Being not weak in faith. If God said, Philippians chapter 4, but my God shall supply all of your need.
Right.
Is he going to supply your need, Gail?
Yes.
Did God say that he would go before you and he would not leave you comfortless? Do you believe that? When you're in the funeral home, are you by yourself?
No.
In the hospital room? No. When you're staring death in his face? No. You're never alone. Now, let's read on just a second. This man Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. And verse number 20, but will say this word with me, but what? Was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham praised the Lord before it happened. If you and I could get to that point, thanking God in advance, thanking God it shall be done. Don't wait till it happens, because that's not faith. Faith is believing the impossible, and faith is believing that it shall be done according to his will.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I'm trusting God for a brand new Lexus. Well, good luck for you. Amen. God may supply you a car, but it may not be a brand new Lexus. Say amen.
Amen.
Or a multi-million-dollar jet or whatever else. Now, if there is a need, money is not an object for God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We got to hurry on now. He doesn't. No, but he does say he gives us the desires of our heart, doesn't he?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. All right.
God for that.
Yes, sir. All right, let's read on. And being fully persuaded. I read that, Sister Gail, that, and I think about this. Some people are partially persuaded.
Right.
Some of you are partially persuaded. Some of you believe part, but you're not fully persuaded. And this is where the next step comes in. How are you going to derail what faith you've got? How can you be strong in faith? Well, Abraham was strong in faith. The Bible says he was strong in faith. And look what the Bible said here in verse number 19. He didn't consider his own body now dead. He didn't get up every morning and look at himself in the mirror. And he did not say, it ain't going to happen. In fact, he said, it is going to happen. He said, I'm going to be a father. In fact, Abram changed his name from Abram to Abraham, like what Brother Mays used to say. God blessed him when he changed his name and put Ham on the end of it. He said, God will bless anybody who put Ham on there. Amen. Abram went from Abram to Abraham, father of a many nation. Abraham. He declared himself to be a father before Isaac was ever born. Are y'all with me? That's faith. That's faith. Imagine living in Abraham's day. Here he is, 75 years old. God makes him a promise. God said, you're going to be a daddy. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Your descendants are going to be the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. And Abraham goes out. He goes down to the corner market. He goes down there to buy him some pomegranates and some grapes and some figs. And he says, hey, Joe, guess what? God told me I'm going to be a daddy. Joe says, yeah, right. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? You realize you're 75 years old. You're past the childbearing. And by the way, have you looked at your wife? Yeah, I have. But I'm not considering that. I'm considering what God said. If you look at yourself and you look at your body, your faith is going to be derailed. Because you're going to look at, and if you look at your circumstances, if you look at your problems, you capitalize on what's going wrong in your life, your faith is going to get derailed. You can either get strong in faith or you can get weak in faith. Your faith is moving. It's moving from week to week, from month to month, from year to year. You may have been strong in faith years ago and now you're weak in faith. You may have been weak and now strong. It is a fluid operation. It's moving. Read on. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was what? Are y'all with me? Read it out loud. He was what? Well, that just pertained to Abraham. That don't pertain to Gail. That don't pertain to Joanne. That don't pertain to Daryl. That don't pertain to Frank. No, it does. Amen?
Yes, sir.
What God has promised, it applies to everybody. Amen? If you're a child of the Lord. Come on now. Hang on, we got a long way to go. 2 Thessalonians 1 says this. I don't need to turn there. Where I do want you to turn is this. Psalm 19, verse 14. Everybody turn there for a minute. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you are an example. Your faith is growing. It's growing. It's growing not just, it's growing by leaps and bounds. It grows exceedingly. You are an example. Here's the verse I want you to read with me this morning. Psalm 19:14. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
I wait. Psalm 19:14. I believe this is how it goes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength.
Amen.
And my redeemer.
Yes. Thank God.
Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. How are we going to have great faith? Abraham was a man strong in faith. How was it that his faith kept growing? And you read that in Romans and you read it in the Greek, and it means that his faith kept increasing, increasing, increasing. It was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. As the years went on, it didn't get weaker, but it got stronger. 75 to almost 100. And 25 years, he's still trusting God.
Yes, sir.
Today, we're going to look at one of the hindrances to faith. Look back at Abraham for a second. Abraham could not have been strong in faith if he kept looking at himself every day. If he got up every day and looked at himself in the mirror and he says, you know, God said it when I was 75, but I'm 80 years of age now, and I've got more bumps and bunions and wrinkles and crevices and cracks. There, you know, God, I know what you said, but I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. That's where a lot of people come in. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year, some people give up and they say, what's the use in praying? Because if I don't see it by now, it must not going to happen. Hey, honey, look at Abraham. He waited 25 years. He got stronger and stronger and stronger until one day he walked home and Sarah was knitting some baby booties and he said, hey, glorious day. I'm going to be a daddy for sure. If he had listened to others, he'd have been weak.
Right.
Now, Abraham, have you just considered this whole scenario? I mean, here you are, you're almost 100 years old, and you're talking about having a baby. Can you think about, I mean, listen, you're past the age of, childbearing years. Abraham, if you had a baby, think of the money. Think of the getting up in the middle of the night. Abraham, you're no spring chicken. Abraham, your whole lifestyle is going to change. Abraham, if he had listened to other people, he wouldn't have been strong in faith. You have a choice to make, my friend. You have a choice to make. Sister Gail, I want to be around people that talk about faith. I want to be around people that believe in faith. I don't want to be around the soothsayers and the naysayers that says, hey, that's not going to happen. I believe this. If we are a people and a church of faith, there is nothing that God cannot do.
Right.
I mean, I believe God can save your loved one.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Start claiming that.
Yes.
I'm going to touch on this. You know what our problem is today? I shared this with a man down at the meeting, at the tent meeting. I said, so many times we are begging God, and we just need to stop begging God and start praising God and believing that God's going to do it. The Bible said, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How many of you believe in your heart that all men can be saved? Amen. God didn't punish some people to go to hell. No, hell was never designed for the lost man. It was designed for the devil and his angels. And if a lost man goes to hell, listen to me, unless you accept Christ, that's where you're headed. But if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. But thank God he made a way of escape.
Amen.
He doesn't want you in hell.
Thank you, Lord.
But you, if you listen to the naysayers and the soothsayers, someone's going to tell you today that God chose some to go to hell and God chose some to go to heaven. That is out of the pit of hell itself.
Right.
All right, let's get back to this. If you focus on the wrong things, your faith's going to be weak. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You focus on the right things, your faith's going to be strong. Listen to me, if you don't get nothing else, faith needs to be fed. And fear needs to be starved.
Right.
When fear, I'm not saying your fear ain't going to come upon you, but when your fear comes upon you, you rebuke that. You cast it down. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. When fear comes upon you, and it will come up, you cast it off. You don't entertain it. No, but you know what some people do? They sit around and start worrying about it. Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do if I lose my job. I don't know what I'm going to do if I get cancer. I don't know how I'm going to take care of myself. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to, you know, that little bit of nest egg. It's got to keep us the rest of us. Hey, cast off the fear and feed your faith. Turn to Romans 10:9 for a second, would you please?
Romans 10:9. Brother Steve Rowe, would you read that for me? Romans 10:9. Everybody turn there for a second. How many of you, if you're not ashamed, and I'm not trying to point you, how many of you know you're saved by the good grace of God? Raise your hand. All right, I'm not trying to point you out. I'm trying to prove a point. How did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I joined the church. No, honey, that ain't getting saved. I got saved when I got baptized. No, sorry, you went down a dry center and you come up a wet one. That's all that happened to you. Well, I just put $100 bill in the offering plate. I guess that'll get me a ticket to glory. Sorry, honey, we'll give you $100 back. That ain't gonna buy you a ticket to heaven.
Amen.
How do you get saved, Brother Steve? Brother Steve, read that verse for me. Romans 10:9. That
thou shalt confess with thy
mouth
the Lord
Jesus,
and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
All right, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. How do you know there is a God? How do you know that Jesus died for you? You wasn't there. How do you know that he died for you? And so if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, I rebuke you, devil. If you believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, the Bible says that you can be saved. Amen? But there is another step. What did that verse say? That if thou shalt
believe
in your heart and do what?
Confess
with your mouth. Your mouth will only confess what you believe in your heart.
Right.
Is it important?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, yes.
Is it important to confess? Abraham made a choice. Abraham was not ashamed. Abraham stepped out on faith and said, I am going to be a daddy.
Right.
People said, you're crazy. I'm going to be a daddy. He confessed it. He believed it. He trusted. That's where you got to get to.
Right.
You can say, I believe it down here. I believe it down in my heart, But now I don't want to confess it because I'm afraid it ain't going to happen. There's where your faith is going to get derailed.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
You're right, brother. Amen.
You say, I believe it down here in my heart, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Is it important? Is it important? Let's turn it. All right, I got so much to say. I ain't got enough time to do it. Go with me to Matthew 10 for a second. Go with me to Matthew 10, just a second. Jesus said in Matthew 10, talking about people that confess him. You know, over the years, when people, Sister Gail, when people genuinely get saved, they don't have a problem confessing Jesus. But if somebody makes a profession of faith and then you say, I'd like for you to walk forward, I can't say nothing in front of people. I know some people are shy. I understand that. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But what I'm saying is this. If you have to drag somebody down the aisle, chances are they really didn't get saved. Because if you get saved, you want to tell somebody that you got saved. Amen? Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
But, verse 33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. If we confess him, he will confess us. If we deny him, he will deny us. His words are affected by our words.
Right.
I lost some of you on that. Hang on just a second. His will is affected by our will, by our words. Are y'all with me on that? I'm not making this up. Look what he says. If you confess me, I'll confess you. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. Turn with me, please. Proverbs 18, or just listen for a second. Proverbs 18. You ought to get this verse down because here's where we get into this morning. How am I going to ruin what faith I have? Proverbs 18:20 says this, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Death and life are in the power of a tongue. "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." The key to victory, the key to faith in your life is found in the words that you say. How do you get saved? You confess it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart. But the mouth only confesses what you believe in your heart. Your words have a definite bearing on what you believe. If you don't believe it, you're not going to speak it. But if you really believe it, you're going to speak it. Oh, faith is a strange concept for many Christians. Faith calls into being the things that are impossible. Faith calls into being the things that are not seen. Some people say, if I can see it, I believe it. That's not faith. Some people say, oh, as soon as God proves it to me, I believe it. That's why some people die lost and go to hell, because they don't have the faith to believe the Son of God died 2,000 years ago. They don't have the faith to believe. Some people say, you prove Christianity to me. You prove the Bible is real. Honey, it's by faith that you accept that.
Right.
If y'all agree with what I'm about to say, say amen. People do not have to be struggling with any addiction. Jesus said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall sometimes set you free." How many of you know your Bible? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what?
Set you free.
The only reason why people are bound, either they don't know the truth or either they don't apply the truth. There is freedom in Christ. How many? Some of you sitting here listening to me this morning. Some of you can testify to this. You say, "Preacher, there was a time in my past I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to alcohol. I was a slave to drink. I was a slave to drugs. I was a slave to sin of this world. But Jesus came in my life and He broke the sin shackles and He set me free. And now I'm free indeed. I serve a new master. I've got a new calling. I've got new desires." Why? Because Jesus set me free. He did something that a 12-step program could not do.
Amen. Amen.
Can what we say change the course of our life?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Can what we say change the will of God for our life? Oh, you know, preacher, I don't know about that. All right, so I'm glad you asked. Turn with me. Here we go, and I'm skipping over some things. Turn with me, please, to Numbers 13.
Listen.
Glory to God. You know what time I've got? I got 25 minutes to 12. I need a battery. So that ain't going to do me any good. Don't worry, I see the clock back there. It's 11:54. Numbers 13. Stay with me for about 15 minutes. I'll try to help you.
You know, Pastor, I'm just looking at that verse right down below in Proverbs. It says, "A man that has friends must show his himself friendly."
Yes, sir.
"And there is a friend
that sticketh closer than a brother."
Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen, brother. Hey. Shout on that one.
Yeah, brother. Thank God.
All right, let's get to Numbers 13 for a second. All right? If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
Give you the story. Israelites have come out of Egyptian bondage. Numbers 13, look in verse number 2. God made them a promise. They came out of Egyptian bondage, and now they've crossed the Red Sea. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And this is what God says to them. Are you following me? If God said it, is that His will?
Yes, yes.
Ooh, back up a second. If God said it, is that His will?
Yes,
yes it is.
Yes.
All right, now watch this. Verse chapter 13, verse 2. "Send thou men that they may search the land." Read this next. "Which I give unto the children of Israel." God's will was for them to have the land of Canaan. God said, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to go into the land. I want you to possess the land. This is your land. This is going to be a land of milk and honey and grapes and pomegranates, and it's going to be a blessed land. But you're going to have to do some fighting. All right, so look what happens here. Go down to verse 17 of chapter 13. All right. And so Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up out this way southward and go unto the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they shall dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and the cities that dwell there, whether it be tents or in strongholds. So Moses is given them a command to go and search the land out. Go down to verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now, what did God already say? God said, I'm going to give you this land. Moses said, I'm going to get 12 spies and 12 men to go out and search the land out. And I want to see if there are strongholds and the cities, and what are we going to have to do to conquer this land? I'm sending out an advance platoon. I want to see what's out there. And then they come back. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word of them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. By the way, we didn't read it, but Moses said, by the way, when you're out there, go ahead and bring some fruit back so that we have some tangible to look at. And so they went out and they brought back grapes as big as swimming caps. They could skin one and put it over your head. I mean, huge grapes, and a land of milk and honey, a land that is goodly, a land that is fruitful. But now notice what happened. Verse 27. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest. Surely, it's just like God said. It is a land that flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. And here is where the naysayers come in. But, nevertheless, read that. The people that are strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Enoch. You see what's happening?
Yes.
Fear has now encompassed their perspective.
Right.
God said it. God wants to do it. But now they are engulfed in fear. And their words are going to be their detriment. Watch what happens. They said in verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and dwell in the mountain, the Canaanites dwell in and the coast of Jordan. I can see them now. They're running through the crowd. My word. Look what's happening to us. Moses, why'd you bring us out here? Moses, we've got the Jebusites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and this side. Look in verse 29, verse 30. Caleb steals the people. He's like, I can't whistle. Let me have your attention. He steals the people from what he said. I like Caleb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Caleb said, let us go up at once. Let's not waste any time.
Right.
And let's do what? Possess it. For we are well able to overcome.
Amen.
Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How did he know that?
Yeah.
Did he go to the gym? Did he see them out there working with weights? Did he see their formations? Did he see their... No. He's feeding upon his fear. Hear me out, people. I'm not saying fear is not going to come upon you. When they give you a diagnosis And they tell you you have 6 months to live. You can choose to accept that or you can choose to reject that. You can choose to say, I believe God. I believe that by His stripes I'm healed. I believe that God's going to intervene. I believe that I'm going to be healed of the Lord. And I believe that God, in His good pleasure, is going to see me through this.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Or you can give in to your fear.
Right.
Well, I guess that should, I might as well go ahead and how many weeks I got left? Okay, well then, you know, I might as well just cancel everything and go ahead and call the funeral home and get all that, you know. Hey, you choose to feed your fears, or either you starve your faith or feed your fear. Now watch what happens here. Some of you just left me on that one. All right, listen, watch it. Watch it. And so they said, we're not able to do this. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone up to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Wait a minute, guys. Hang on. Time out. Where are you getting this information?
Right.
Where are you? Your fear is feeding your thought process. What you are saying has no bearing. Did not God say, I'm going to give you this land? Who are you going to believe? Did not God say in His precious word here, He'd take care of you?
Yes, sir.
Who are you going to choose to believe?
Go ahead,
read on. And so they said that, you know, the inhabitants are going to be swallowed up. And all the people we saw, they're men of great stature. And verse 33, and here is really a clincher. Verse 33, and we saw the giants of the son of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Who told them that they looked like grasshoppers?
Right.
That is something they only supposed. Do you know what? Your majority of your worry is things that will never ever happen to you. You worry about things that you cannot control, things you cannot change, things that in 10 years from now won't matter a hill of beans. And friend, if you worry, worry is assuming a responsibility that God never intended for you to have, casting all your care, anxiety, worry on Him, for He careth for you. You have a choice. You can worry. And God said, if you're going to worry, you can just go ahead and have it all. Have it all. Have all the upset stomachs and all the ulcers and all the sleepless nights and all the depression and all the other stuff that goes on. Or you can choose to trust God. What are you going to do? Well, let's read on, okay? Let's read on. Let me give you three simple thoughts. All right, number one, notice there's a promise of God. Chapter 13, verse 2. I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Y'all talk to me on this one. Was it God's will that these Israelites enter into Canaan? Answer yes or no.
Yes.
Yes. Now look what happened. Look at chapter 13, verse 25. The spies were sent out. When they came back in verse number 30, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones out of those 12. They were the only two that said, we can do it. We can get into this land. We can possess this land. Yes, there's going to be a fight. By the way, this thing, why does the Bible say fight the good fight of faith? Because it is a fight. It's every day. You never surrender. You never give in. You never give up. It is a fight to the death every day. Don't think just because you get older it's going to get easier. It doesn't. Just because you've been saved for 30 years, you think it's going to get easier. It doesn't.
No, sir.
It is a fight to the death, to the finish.
You're right. Absolutely.
Look at verse 33. How did these Israelites know what they looked like in the sight of the Canaanites? They didn't. They were feeding on their fear.
Yeah.
Number two. Look at chapter 14. Here's number two. The promise was number one. The problem is number two. Problem facing the people. Look in chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this? Can y'all read that with me?
Evil congregation.
Evil congregation. Whew. Boy, that wouldn't go over on a Sunday morning, would it? Which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Three times in that one verse, God said, this congregation is full of murmuring, griping, complaining, bellyaching, criticizing, gossiping. What's the problem they faced? Read on down. Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as the people in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Let's go back. Answer me on this. Was it God's will that they possess the land? Did these people possess the land?
Yes.
No. These people died. 20 and over, they died. What happened here? He said in verse 29, your carcasses shall fall by the wilderness. Was it God's will? Yes, it was God's will. What prevented God from accomplishing His will is because that these people doubted, murmured, griped, complained, bellyached, and criticized, and God said, okay, the words of your mouth have justified your belief. You don't believe I'm able to do it. You don't believe I'm going to help you. You don't believe that I can satisfy your needs. So guess what? You're going to die in the wilderness. All the young people, they're going to go in, but the old people, you're going to die. I didn't say it. He said it. They were focusing on their circumstances instead of trusting what God had already said. If you read this, and read on down through here, they had a misconception. They looked at Moses and they said, Moses, you brought us out here in this wilderness to die. Would to God we were back in Egypt. When we were in Egypt, we sat around the flesh pots and we were eating garlics and leeks and we were having a party. Honey, they weren't having a party. They were slaves.
Right, brother. Amen.
They had a misconcept. That's where the devil wants to get you.
Right.
He wants to convince you your life was better before you were in church. The devil wants to convince you that your life was better being a lost man. The devil wants to convince you that you had more friends in the bar than you do in church. Honey, let me got good news for you. Is that God is still on the throne and God is still ruling and God will take care of you regardless of what happens. Don't let your mouth determine God's blessing on your life. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, and my strength and my redeemer. Number three, notice the power of faith. Chapter 14, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Look in verse 9. I like this, and boy, I really like this. Here, Joshua and Caleb, they're trying to encourage the people. They said in verse number 8, the Lord's on our side. The Lord's going to take care of us. He's going to give us this land. In verse 9, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. You see this next phrase? For they are, read this with me, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. You know what that word, you know what that little phrase means, Brother Darrell? When Joshua and Caleb said, Sister Gail, they're just bread for us. You know what he means? Let me tell you what he means. It's a piece of cake. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah.
It's a piece of cake.
Amen.
Joshua and Caleb, they said, they said, it's a piece of cake, Darrell. We can do it. We can do it. Why? God's on our side. Is God on your side?
Amen. Thank God.
Come on, folks. Talk to me this morning. I done put out a whole lot today. Is God on your side?
Yes.
Will He fight your battles?
Yes.
Will He take care of you?
Yes.
Will He ever let you down?
No.
Will He forsake you when the going gets tough?
No, sir.
only believe. Well, fourth of all, I'll end with this. The plan of God versus the choice of man. Was it God's will for them to go in the promised land?
Yes.
Was it God's will that they die in the wilderness?
No.
So what happened? They changed the will of God by what came out of their mouth.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all following me on that?
Yes, I do.
God wants to meet every need that you've got, but what comes out of your mouth, you can derail your faith. You say, I believe it, preacher, I believe it. But then when you're put in a testing time, you say, I believe God's going to save my loved ones. And then you put in a testing time, then all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth. Well, I guess they're going to die lost and go to hell. No! If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it's a matter of time before they get saved. Somebody help me out.